Jesus, we thank you and praise you for how good you are. We do worship you with all of our hearts. For we know how good you are. We know your word is true and your promises are true for us. So we just praise you and thank you. We're honored that we can come together as a body and be here to collectively say, we love you, Jesus. And for you to hear the praise and the abundance of joy in our hearts. And we're also just thankful that we can come together and to hear your word, to hear your truth, to have you revealed. Jesus, you reveal yourself to us through your word. So we are ready and anxious just to respond, to hear all that you have for us, to receive it fully. In your name, Jesus, you be glorified. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Before we get started, I do want to pray for a couple of things. If anybody else has any prayer requests, let me know. But we want to pray for Diane's family as she lost her brother this week. So we just want to lift them up, as obviously that's a hard time to go through. And God's obviously taking care of, Jesus is obviously taking care of the details. But keep Diane and her family lifted up in your prayers. And Rick, your father's in the hospital? What's he in the hospital for? Okay. Okay, we're going to pray for healing and restoration. What's your dad's first name?
Gerard.
For Gerard. Anybody else have any prayer requests before we get started? What's her name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin for gallbladder. Okay. Caitlin? Yes, but Caitlin is the one and then Brittany. Okay. Gallbladder. And tell me Brittany again.
Stomach,
okay. You might have to remind me of that. Anybody else? You can see my memory is already starting to fail. I can only hold four things at once, apparently. Charlie?
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that at the very end, yeah. And there's something I want you guys to be proactive with, which we'll talk about at the end. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for how good you are. We thank you that your word is always true. And your word makes it clear. We just looked at this last week. You said that in your word, he sent the word and healed them, delivering them from their destructions. You sent Jesus. Jesus, you came, and you've already prepared for our salvation and for our healing. So we thank you and praise you for that. So we lift up Rick's dad. I thank you and I praise you. Lord, we speak to his body, and we say to that body, we say to the lungs, whatever's causing the problem, whatever's causing the congestion, whatever's causing the difficulty, we say to his lungs that they function the way you created them to function. We say to his body, submit to the word of God, which says you're healed and be healed. We thank you and praise you for that. We lift up, tell me again the name, please. Caitlin. We lift up Caitlin, just that gallbladder, the surgery that she's going in for. We speak to her body. And we just trust. Your word says our times and our seasons are in your hands. So as Caitlin goes in for this season with surgery, we know that she is in your hand and that you have her safe and protected. I thank that you give just wisdom, direction, skill, insight that is supernatural for every single person that's in that operating room. But we put our trust and our confidence in you, and we say to Caitlin's body that she is healed and restored in the authority of your name, Jesus. We lift up Brittany, and we just come against those stomach ailments. Again, you said to speak to the mountain, speak to the problem. We speak to Brittany's stomach. As a body, we speak and agree, and we say to that stomach, whatever's causing the problems, we say to the stomach, submit to the word. Submit. For we don't yield to the body. The body yields to your word. Your word says she's healed. We speak and believe, and we know that Brittany is healed, and we thank you and praise you for that. We lift up Diane's family. Lord, I thank you and I praise you that you are there to be the comfort. You are there just to be the balm to their hearts. Where we don't have words that are appropriate, I thank you that your love shines through the body of Christ to touch Diane, to touch her family, to touch every member of the family. If there's members of the family or friends who don't know Jesus, that they see you shining through. They see you coming through and touching their lives, and it draws them towards you as well. But we lift them up to you, and we say thank you for ministering to Diane and to her family. In your name, Jesus. We thank you for all these things. We count them as done. We give you the glory for it. It's all to your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, my friend Jeff Milslegel is here. We were talking about this earlier. Jeff and I have known each other for about 30 years, which means we met each other when we were 5 years old. So. Jeff is the program director for WLMB TV 40. Jeff has been in television ministry for most of your ministry. He's always been involved in ministry. He was on the pastoral staff at one of the largest churches in Lima for a number of years. And when I first met Jeff, it was when he was working at TV 44 down in Lima. One of the first things I ever did on TV that I remember, it was one of my highlights. Jeff had put together a TV program where it was looking at the Word of God and how we have the Word that we have today. And he asked me to come down, and that was one of the most fun things that I've done on television. So I've known Jeff for a number of years. I've asked Jeff if he would come and speak and share the Word with us today. So if you guys would, please make my friend Jeff welcome as he comes on up. Now, I've also asked Jeff, before we get started, Jeff, I'm proud of him for what he just did. Yes, I am. I've known Jeff for years, and you know, I started City on a Hill. One of the things I told you was I wanted to use these seats to bring in people from the community where I could sit down, because every single one of us, it doesn't matter who we are, what we're doing, God has given us gifts and skills, and he's called us to do things, and there are things that he can do through you that he's assigned for each one of us, for you to do. And each one of us needs to be that city on a hill, that light that cannot be hid. And so I always want to challenge us. Those dreams, those desires, those things that you think you have on your heart, I mean, what we want to do, this is what Donna's in my heart was to start this, is to empower people to be what everything that Jesus has called you to do. So Jeff's been in TV. He probably doesn't realize this, but writing is a different medium than television. But Jeff just wrote a book. So congratulations on that. Have a seat.
Okay.
His book is called, well, first of all, how long did it take you to actually write this?
I started this in the winter of 2013, so it's been 3.5 years.
In the works.
Yes.
The book is called Our Most Valuable Treasure. It's a book about Psalm 119. Now, I told my pastor is good friends with Jeff also, and I told Pastor Menke, hey, Jeff just wrote a book. He said, really, what's it about? I said, it's on Psalm 119. And Pastor said, that is my favorite psalm to preach out of. So I have to ask you, first of all, how did you choose Psalm 119 as the text for the entire book?
Well, I had read through it a variety of times, but I never took the time to study it. As you know, Todd and I, what he's not telling you is that we meet almost every week for lunch, and we often will compare different things that each of us has been studying the Word, or we talk about baseball or something. But yes, in history, we have a lot of parallel history things. Anyhow, I had read Psalm 119 a lot, but I had never really studied it. And I remember that winter thinking, you know what, rather than me talk about Psalm 119, talks a lot about the Bible, I really need to figure out what it really says. And that started me on this quest. I didn't begin this as a book. It just began as a personal study. And then I started seeing lines of thought in here that I thought, you know, this makes a nice teaching. I could group this together in various teachings. And that's kind of how it started.
I love this quote because you guys know I love the Word of God. This is a quote from the very beginning of his book. It says, a thorough understanding of Psalm 119 will lead you to a better understanding of the rest of the Bible. Let me read that again. A thorough understanding of Psalm 119 will lead you to a better understanding of the rest of the Bible.
Yes, and I sincerely believe that. I think that's most of you probably, I know you guys are in a good church, so this isn't you. But there's a lot of people that go to church that are biblically illiterate, that just don't know much of anything about the Scriptures. And I literally had a conversation with a gentleman here who was in my Bible study previous Tuesday night, and he just started coming. This guy's been in church all his life, 30, 40 years. And I was talking about Joseph. We were just finishing the book of Genesis, and I was talking about Joseph. And he literally thought I was talking Mary and Joseph. And I realized, how does this happen? Because he wanted to know, so after this, is that when he met Mary? And he was serious about this. And I thought, this breaks my heart. I'm so glad he's there listening now, but
amen.
He's been in church very regularly for decades and never was able to put that together. Now, see, I just think we have such a dearth of biblical understanding where we decide that the Scripture is how we're going to live. It's what governs our life. It helps us make decisions. It helps us in our conduct, all that stuff. And I think if you read through Psalm 119 and grasp the love of the Scriptures that the psalmist does, you look at the rest of the Bible in a whole different light.
Yes.
So that was kind of the driving force with us.
That's awesome. That is really good. It's a long chapter, obviously, Psalm 119, 176 verses.
Yeah.
How did you break it down?
Well, it started out with, it's written in 22 eight-verse sections, and I won't go into all that now. But it's if you look at your Bibles, most of them, you'll have the verses 1 through 8 has a little Hebrew word at the beginning of it, and verses 9 through 16 are going to have another one, etc. And so I just started grouping them into an eight-verse section, and I did see that. But then later on, I saw other themes. I thought, well, that's really talking about wisdom, and that's not in this section, but I want to include that verse. So then I kind of changed my thinking, and I developed what, at the time, I was thinking concepts, some of that different concepts. And I woke up literally one time in the morning, and I remember telling my wife, it's not concepts, it's keys. That's the idea, it's keys, because it opens the rest of Scripture to you. So that's kind of how it ended up with that. Because that's the subtitle of it, the key to unlocking His Word.
Anytime that you teach something, as I get ready to teach on Sundays, I always have an idea what I'm going to present to you, but then during the week, once I start to put it together, I always wind up going to all different places because the Holy Spirit takes me places that I've never been at before. I learn as I'm teaching.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
As you were going through this, were you surprised at how much you learned? Because I'm sure you had a mindset going in, and then how much more you actually learn when you're there putting it together and listening to the Holy Spirit.
Just you learn things. How much Psalm 119 talks about the truth of the rest of Scripture. I mean, it's over and over and over in there where it says, you know, verse 160 says, you know, from the beginning your word is true. And all your righteous judgments endures forever. I think 127 talks about how in all ways, I consider your word to be right. And a couple other places like that. And you realize, wow, it is making a bold, brash statement that I don't have my Bible's over there. This book is true. You know,
Amen.
This book is true. And there's a lot of things you can't count on, but you can count on this. And that's what the psalmist is saying.
Jeff, when you wrote all this and put this all together, and I have to tell you that I asked Jeff to come because he was going to be gone all week. So I asked him to come teach. He did not mention. I asked him to bring the book. I'm so proud of the work that he did. I had the advantage of reading this before we actually went to print, so I know how good it is. I'm just proud of the effort that he made, and I asked him if he would come and talk about the book real quickly. I also asked him if he would bring some books. So when service is over, he has a number of books back there at the back table. Just come see Jeff if you're interested. How much are the books?
$10.
So the books are back there. Highly encourage if you're interested. If this has spurred your interest, read the book. It's when I say it's easy to read, I don't mean that it's simple. I got a lot out of it, but it's easy to read in that you don't get bogged down. It's not hard. I like reading books where I think, okay, well, if I can get through this chapter, maybe the next one will have something. I was captivated all the way through.
I try not to use big words because I don't do big words well.
That's good also. So, again, the book is called Our Most Valuable Treasure. It's about Psalm 119. Jeff, one last question I want to ask you because, again, God has laid hearts or on your hearts to do certain things for Him. Sometimes we don't always do that because we think, I can't do that. Now, that's beyond my ability. Jeff is in television. He's not in writing. It's a different medium. And yet it's what God called him to do. What would you say to encourage people? People like Ed's going to be starting something. You'll be hearing something about that in the weeks to come. Ed's going to be starting something here that is not necessarily has anything to do with his job or anything, but it's what God has called he and Luann to do. So I encourage them, I strengthen them to do that. What would you say to people, just to encourage each one of us to find what it is, in addition to being an example of Christ in the workplace, just to find what that extracurricular thing that is that God has for us and just do it and don't let anything stop you.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it is a whole lot of hunting and finding. It really is a matter of submission.
Good.
And you just submit to the Lord, whatever you want me to do. And when I say that, and most people, when we pray that, we're thinking, boy, I hope you call me to Hawaii. You know, love to have that, but let dig, that'd be great, you know, that'd be awesome. You know, but it's really submission to Him. It's like, Lord, whatever you want me to do, and I don't even know what that is. And it's amazing how He'll drop little things into your place. Yeah. in our one of Todd and I's lunch conversations, been over a year ago now, I was just sharing with them some things I was finding from Psalm 119. And this guy over here said, well, you know, you really need to write a book on that. And I'm like, me writing a book? I don't have it. You know, but it just wouldn't leave me alone. And I would wake up in the morning thinking about it, or I'd be doing some other study in some other passage of Scripture, and I could just echo things that I was reading in Psalm 119. And I thought, you know, maybe Todd's right. Maybe I need to do play with this idea. So that started. By the way, he was a huge help to this. He edited a lot of the work and gave me some insight on it. It was invaluable. And some other folks sitting right over there edited too. Yeah. Tim and Reese over there edited the thing for me. It's a big help.
Well, again, it's about Psalm 119. If you want more information, talk to Jeff about it afterwards. Jeff, I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm going to turn things over so you can share the word with us.
Wonderful. I have so looked forward to
this. Again, welcome, Jeff.
Wow. Thank you, Todd. Yes. Right out of the chute here this morning, I want to let you know we're going to be talking about wisdom, biblical wisdom. Now, when I say wisdom, I'm not talking intelligence, right? Intelligence is a good thing, and we need really intelligent people with us, right? Some of you were born with more intelligence than me. Actually, most people are. But it's you develop your intellect and intelligence, right? You go to school on it, you get your various degrees, or maybe you work really hard in one particular field. You might be a pressman, or maybe a pipe fitter, or whatever it is, a seamstress. I mean, it's amazing the things that you can learn that way. Intellect, all right? But I'm not talking about intellect. I'm talking about wisdom, biblical wisdom. There's a dearth of wisdom. Why do people make bad decisions? And you stand back and look at them and go, how did you end up with that? Because there's a missing element of wisdom. Now, the Bible talks a lot about wisdom, and one place we like to go to when we talk about wisdom, you're like, you got to make a decision. You know, Lord, do I buy the red car or do I buy the blue car? And we think, there's a scripture about that. It's James 1, 5. Yeah, and we turn there real quick, and it says, you know, if anyone lacks wisdom, you know, ask the Lord. He will give us wisdom liberally. And we think, okay, Lord, that's what I need. I need your wisdom to make this decision. We stand back and go, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. And now I'm not necessarily saying that's not going to happen. The Lord does do that different times. But I think wisdom and even God's will are more intertwined than we like to normally think of. Here's a verse I want you to find, also from the book of James. This is, verse 17. Let's go ahead. We have verse 17 up here, if we can do that. It says, James, by the way, I happen to be using a New King James version. James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above, or godly wisdom, is first pure and peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So it sounds like the wisdom he's talking about is actually going to be more than just information. It's going to be more than just information the Lord's going to give us. This wisdom is going to be changed in this. It's going to give us some sort of a gentle or peaceable spirit. It's going to allow us to be full of mercy, etc. I got a little definition here of wisdom I'd like us to use. Let's see if we can put that. Do we have that up there? Yeah. Okay. Here's the definition of wisdom. It's a method of thinking which produces biblically centered conclusions resulting in morally correct conduct. All right? It's a method of thinking which produces biblically centered conclusions resulting in morally correct conduct. It's not just knowing more about the Bible, all right? But it's more than that. It's where it comes with you in such a way where you're able to produce some sort of biblically centered conclusion which results in a better conduct. There's a lot of people who know a lot about the Bible that are in seminaries and sadly leading a bunch of churches, etc., that are infinitely unwise. I mean, you see that all over. People have got a variety of various degrees and teach in seminaries and write books and stuff, and yet they don't do this. Their knowledge about the Bible doesn't produce correct moral conduct. So what is biblical wisdom? The go-to place in the Bible for wisdom is Proverbs. So let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to spend the balance of our time. Proverbs chapter 2. I love Proverbs. If you ever want to do a little devotional sometime, it's a cool way of doing this. Take the day of the week and then read that proverb, all right? Or, excuse me, day of the month, I should say. So today is, what, the 24th? So you'd read Proverbs 24. Tomorrow's 25th, and you'd read Proverbs. Okay, most of you got that. Yes, it goes from 24 to 25. Yes, that's how you do it. You might want to think about serving coffee beforehand. Get some people away. Okay. But no, seriously, yeah, it's a simple little devotional you can do. And you, by the way, you can jump in on that on any day of the month. You don't have to wait till the first or whatever. Simple little thing to do. But Proverbs talks a lot about wisdom. I want to read the first, five, six verses here of Proverbs 2, and then we're going to jump back into this and pick some of this apart, all right? My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then, that's a key word in this, then, you might want to underline then, draw an arrow around it, because then, it's really important, then you will receive, or excuse me, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. I just love that. That's biblical wisdom. It's what the Lord does here. Now, I want to pick this apart a little bit, because I want us to understand what's going on. Solomon does this cool little thing. I'm going to give you a big word here. I will be really impressed. It's called parallelism, all right? Proverbs does this a lot, where he says the same thing, but twice, in two different ways. It's kind of like saying, this month's been really hot. 6 months ago, it was really cold. Variety of temperature. Proverbs does this often. And here's Solomon doing this once again. So each verse, you see that he does this. And what I want to do is boil down each verse to one word. I want to get one word because I think it's a four-step process of getting us to verse 5. Remember, then starts out verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Then. Okay, so we want to get to the then. What's there? And by the way, a little bit later on, there's another then in verse 9. And right after that, verses come 10 and 11. I think verse 10 and 11 is the goal we want to get to. When wisdom enters your heart, knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you. We're going to come back later and talk a little bit more about those words, but that's where we're going to end up at. So how do we get there? Well, here you go. First step. Verse 1. First word is a decide from verse 1. Decide. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. So it's decide. You've got to decide that I'm going to get wisdom from this book. I'm going to get this. Well, it's going to come from you, Lord, so I've made this decision to decide to do this. And this requires us to do a couple things. One, it requires us to be come in humility. We've got to be a little humble here because I'm not coming at it saying, Lord, I demand you show me. That's not it. It's humbly. I almost said submission. Because it's really submitting to God's word. The other thing is, and this is really cool, it's never forced on you. Okay? It's not like your algebra teacher you had when you were in high school. You know, and force you to learn stuff. You know, I gotta learn this stuff. I believe it or not, tried to take. Oh, that's horrible at this. That's an awful student. when I was a sophomore, I had to take German, right? Why I picked German? I could have picked something, but I picked German. And I remember being forced to learn how to conjugate verbs in German. You know, I don't remember any of it now. Okay, so but that's not how biblical wisdom works. We decide that it has value to us. Or he says, treasure the commands. We decide it has value. We treasure it. Some of you may have been a little observant and noticed there's a chair sitting up here. An old chair. I know the history of this chair from about 1936 present, but beyond further back, I don't know the history of the chair. If any of you are into antique furniture, you'd look at this quickly and say, well, it looks like it's an oak piece made at least during a depression, maybe earlier. It's kind of beat up. You know. It's got a little piece that rattles here. It obviously has been refinished a couple, three different times. It's worn, really. Oh, this chair has been used, you know. In fact, I don't know if you'll be able to hear it, but if I sit on it, you can hear noises in the thing. Yeah. Okay. If you look at it close, you can see there's some repairs done on it. And if you know anything about antiques, you look at that chair and say, Jeff, that thing ain't worth nothing. And nothing. That firewood, you know, it's all worth. Not to this boy. This chair is valued to me. My paternal grandparents had this chair. It's one of six. I have five more, just like it. Rattled just the same way. And a dining room table. All right, now, when my grandparents got this in 1936 or 37, it was used at the time. My grandfather worked in the coal mines of western Pennsylvania. My grandfather did not care at all how anything looked. Aesthetic value meant absolutely nothing to him. Did not care. He wanted it practical. Now, this chair, as we understand it, and as the antique furniture dealers had told us, this chair actually had some sort of high top on this thing at one point. Probably had a decorative thing there. But as you can see, it's not there. Well, the reason for that is because this would be my grandfather. He'd sit, I'll turn it sideways, he'd sit like this, table be in front of him after dinner. Then he'd do this little number. Sit like this, cross his legs. I can see this as it was yesterday. His coffee cup would sit right there, get the newspaper, have it right there, and he'd read the paper. Drink his coffee every evening. In our little town, we had an evening paper, so he'd do that. Well, if you got the high back on there, that wasn't going to work. So my grandfather, that high back's going. It may look nice, but I can't turn there. So all six of them have the top gone. Rendered the chair almost worthless to antique furniture dealers. But to me, a treasure. It has value to me. I have decided that it has value to us. Now look, that's how we have to approach God's word. That's how we have to approach wisdom that comes from his word. We're going to value it. It does not matter what anybody else says. It does not matter what the world tells us. And it does not matter what some scholar says with 19 letters behind his name about how really smart he is, but he's telling us how, no, the Bible doesn't really mean that. You can't really believe. No, it does. We have to value it. We treasure it. We decide. That's what that means. By receive that into your heart, you decide. Treasure the commands. You decide. Here's the second step. Second step is in from verse 2, and the word is to listen. Notice how he says, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. The word there means prick. Yeah, prick your ear. You know, incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Here, too, it's got to be very intentional. You got to be very intentional, and you actually might need to see some other activity. I'm sure this isn't true of any of you ladies here sitting, in this church, but I understand it, that there are women who complain about their husbands that they don't listen to them, all right? I know that never happens here, but I have been guilty of that a time or two. But once or twice, I've been told that I'm not listening. You know, the words are going, but I'm not hearing them. The psalmist says you have to decide. Now you got to listen. You have to listen. It's very intentional. Remember, the Lord says. I remember what I told you in the point one here is that the Lord doesn't force himself upon you. He doesn't do that in listening either. You need to be intentional, and you actually may have to cease doing some other activities so that you can really listen to him. I tend to compartmentalize things. I can function that way very long, but even at some point I have to realize I have to say no to this and yes to this. There's times I have to literally go to bed early because I want to get up early because I know I have to be intentional about getting in his word. It can adjust what we do on vacation. It can adjust where we live. It can adjust all sorts of things if we're listening to him. We have to be intentional. We have to listen to him. So the first step in this process is decide. Second step is listen. Now he got the third step. Verse 3. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. You cry out. One of the coolest things that I get to do is when somebody has been listening to a teaching, or in this case, when I wrote on a book, I had someone that called me, or they actually, emailed me a couple weeks ago, and had a great follow-up question. Something that I wrote there pricked their interest in something, and we're like, boy, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And they emailed me, and we had a little conversation back and forth. I thought, this is awesome. This is somebody asking. That's the word, ask. Somebody asking what's going on. You can ask of God. You know that you can ask God. God, give me some insight in this because I don't understand it. God, give me insight in this situation because I don't understand it. Now, I'll give you a word of caution. You want to be picky about whys, okay? You start doing a lot, like, you know, Job's a great guy. But and when you read Job in Scripture, he's really spiritual at times. And other times he, like, drops down and it kind of like seesaws back because he asks a lot of whys. You know, why does this happen? Well, I know, it's easy. I've been there. But finally, at some point, the Lord says, hey, where were you when I formed the foundation of the earth, huh? Where were you when I had the water go here and it's not going to go any farther? Now, tell me about that. If you think you're so smart, tell me about it. Of course, the Lord says that a little gentler than I did there. But you can always ask him questions. There's a simple little thing. You can always ask Scripture questions, too. That's the one I really like. There's a simple little way to do Bible study. Real simple. It requires a Bible, a notepad, and a pen. That's all you need. You don't need dictionaries or lexicons or commentaries or whatever. And those are fine, and if you have those in your library, that's great. But you want to try something really cool. Take a passage of Scripture and ask yourself three questions. The first one is, what does this tell me about God? Just read a passage of Scripture. What does this tell me about God? Just spend some time. Just chew on it. You see God working in here? You see what's happening? I mean, you can just see that. And by the way, you can use this in absolutely any single part of Scripture. Now, you end up in a genealogy or in, like, First Chronicles, where you have a whole bunch of numbers. It's a little harder, but you can still do it there. What does this passage tell me about God? Think about it. How does God reveal himself to us? And it's through his word, right? So you can read a passage of Scripture and say, okay, now what does this tell me about him and his nature and who he is? Okay, that's cool. Here's the second question. What does this tell me about myself? Now here's a I love doing this one because I like to plug myself into Scripture. You know, if I was there and I saw this, what would it be like? Yeah, Moses, you know, right? You got the Egyptian army coming this way, and they're just coming at you, you know? And you got all these people you let out, and they've been whining already, but, you know, they're there. And you got sea in front of you. You're like, you are literally between a rock and a hard place. There's no way to go, you know, what do you do here? And Moses stands up, you know, holds a staff up. Wouldn't that have been cool to see? You know, when the wind come and the waves, and the sea just part like that, and they do to walk on through. That would have been, like, awesome to watch. I would have loved to see that. You read that passage. Put yourself in there. What would you have been thinking? What have you been thinking right before it happened? What would you be thinking as it happened? What would you have been thinking after it happened? Man, put yourself in Scripture. The showdown of Mount Carmel, that's another great. I've pictured this. You know the old Western movies? You know, the dudes would be on the street, you know? This town ain't big enough for both of us, you know? I walk out, you know? That's what that Mount Carmel thing is like, okay? That's what's going on. You know, you got the prophets of Baal, and they're doing their whole little thing, and they're, you know, all this stuff that's going on. And then finally, and Elijah's just mocking him terribly. You know, hey, you know, maybe Baal's asleep, or maybe he's on vacation. But what, there's a line in there which we kind of make nicer, but it really is saying, you know, maybe he's out using the bathroom. That's one of the things he says. So finally, Elijah comes up. simple little prayer, you know, simple prayer. And what happens? The Lord not only just consumes the sacrifice, but it's like, whoom, fire comes down, you know, and you got the whole altar consumed, and even the water they had going around. Wouldn't it have been cool to stand there and see that? I read that passage, and I go, man, that's awesome. So don't just read Scripture just to get knowledge. Put yourself in it. I'll give you one more. Mark chapter 2. That's a great story. Okay, you know, Jesus is teaching at his house, right? He's teaching at his house, and everybody knows he's there. So everybody in town knows Jesus is there, and they're like, hey, we got to go see this guy, all right? It's early in his ministry. So they don't know a whole lot, but they hear the dude makes miracles happen. There's, you know, water and the wine. There's all sorts of cool stuff going on here. I mean, there's wow, and they want to go see him. And this dude is sick. He's a paralytic. He can't move, whatever. He's on some sort of bed pallet thing, and he's got four friends that pick him up on his pallet and take him to Jesus' house. Imagine you are one of the four guys. Now what do? We can't get in the house. This is what the scripture says. We can't get the house. It's so, what do? You know, did one of them say, oh, I think we ought to just take old Joe back? I don't know. But they, no, they persevere, and it goes up to the top of the house, and they rip the roof open, and they lower him down. Of course, Jesus heals him. Imagine you're one of the guys. Imagine you're the owner of the house. Your roof's been ripped up. All right. Are you happy about it? Are you like, you know, this is great. My house has been used by the Lord. Or are you, who's going to pay for this? You know. Put yourself in Scripture. It's a great way to learn something. And here's the third question you can always ask yourself. What lesson can I learn or apply from this passage of Scripture? It's a simple, simple thing. Now, this is all part of gaining biblical wisdom. Because you ask these questions of the text, you're going to find some stuff. Jot this stuff down. Write it down. Keep a little journal of it. You can go back. But this is inexhaustible. You can use this for any passage of Scripture multiple times. It's really inexhaustible. It's a great way to learn Scripture. It's a great way to really gain this concept of biblical wisdom. Remember, we're getting to verse 5, the then, all right? So the first line was, anybody remember? What was the first word? Decide, thank you. What's the second word? Listen, there you go. And the third one is ask, okay? Now you get the fourth one from verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. Wow. It's the Lord is seek here. If you want to say search, that's fine. You're hunting for this. It implies a degree of difficulty in the searching. You're searching like you're looking for your wallet. And actually, I probably should have said phone, right? Because a lot of us, we can lose our wallet. And we're like, we'll. But phone, I can't lose my phone. You know, we're hunting around, digging for the phone. That's how you got to get to God's word. Too much of us give up on it quickly. Oh, the button. In fact, I'm convinced that's why people don't read Psalm 119. It's 176 verses. I'll never get through that. You know, and you know, this thing's so big, I'll never understand it. Correct, you'll never understand it totally. Totally get that. But that doesn't mean you have to be afraid of it. You got to be in it. Search. By the strict technical definition of terms, I am a fisherman. At the moment, I don't own a fishing license, but I have in previous years. I have two fishing rods. One of them's never seen the water. I have a whole bunch of fishing lures. A lot of those are still in boxes. I have been known to go out on a body of water and pester some fish, you know, and annoy them as I drag my lure past them. By the strict definition of being a fisherman, I am, in fact, a fisherman. There's a lot of people that sadly will call the name of Christian, and they would say they're a follower of Christ, but they're about as much of a Christian as I am a fisherman. Haven't really got into it. My son-in-law, the dude's a fisherman. Okay, now I'm not exaggerating. I bet he has 40 rods. All right, I bet you at this moment, at this instant, 20 of them are set up, ready to go. Okay, he goes out fishing. He doesn't take one rod with him. He doesn't take two. He's three or four with him. Because if one breaks, you need another one, right away. And if two break, you need a third one. You're not going to go back to shore because you have a broken rod. You know, and he's got depth finders and fish finders and all sorts of crazy things going on. And he knows fishing, and he reads about fishing, and he talks about fishing, and everything's fishing, fishing, fishing. And when a man fishes, he fishes like 12, 14 hours a day, all right? Me, I'm like hour and a half, 2 hours. Are we done? I want to get back now. You know, no, not him. He's searching. He's seeking. Now, in his case, he's seeking for fish. But I think the Lord's calling for more and more of us to be searching in his word. Folks, we live, good grief, we live in turbulent times, don't we? Man, now obviously I can only use my understanding of my current livelihood. I have really no understanding beyond what I read of what it was like 50 or 100 or 200 years ago. But I got to tell you, just in my lifetime, things have really gone, Man, it's just, there's so much confusion. There's so much mess out there. There's so much turmoil. And we need something solid we can get our feet on, we can stand on, we can say confidently, this is it. This is God's word. This is what I'm going to count on. It's what I'm going to believe. This is going to be the thing that's going to affect my daily life and my choices. It's biblical wisdom that's allows you to make biblically centered conclusions resulting in positive or correct moral actions. That's what we're looking for. So you got those four things all lined up, right? You decide, you listen, you ask, you seek, and then you get verse 5. Then, see, a lot of us want to jump to verse 5 and forget the first four verses. You know, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find a knowledge of God. Real quickly, I'm not going to go over this in detail, but if you notice 6, 7, and 8, you're going to see things that God does. There's two verbs in each verse showing what God does. Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. That's him speaking. He stores up sound wisdom. He's a shield to those who guard. He guards, or to a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice, preserves the way of the saints. There's another then. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. And you get to verse 10 and 11, and I love these verses. When wisdom, this is a description of what it has when you have biblical wisdom. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion, another way of saying wisdom, will preserve you and understanding will keep you. That, those words preserve and keep, you know, mean protect, encourage. There's like broad terms that can mean a lot of different things. Protect, encourage, secure, strengthen. All those terms are all part of that. And isn't that what we want? I mean, we really want more than just God to tell us buy the red car or the blue car. We really want more than that. What we want is biblical wisdom. So we're able to make biblically centered conclusions that are result in positive or correct moral action. That's what we really want. Wisdom is, I never want to discourage somebody from being in the scriptures, but I don't want you to look at it as just gaining more knowledge, because it's not that. It's a lot more than that. That's important, but the big thing is, does that wisdom, does that knowledge, does something in your life and change you in some way, direct your life? So, As I close here, I want to just take a moment and pray for you all. I know we prayed earlier, but y'all realize that we're somewhat under assault, all right? Our way of thinking is under assault. The concept of the scriptures being true and right and what we need to live by and being our moral foundation, that's constantly under assault. And it can be discouraging. You could stand back and go, I don't believe this. It's just, how can this be? And you can be so discouraged about it. I want to encourage you not to be. I want to encourage you, you got to be in here. And it takes a little bit of seeking. It takes a little bit of work. It takes a little bit of determination. And it most definitely takes you to do the first step and decide. You really have to decide that this word really is valuable. And I do not care what anybody else says. God's word to us. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for your graciousness. We thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We, Lord, too many times I know we have failed as your people. And I thank you for your forgiveness. But, Lord, I just pray for encouragement and strength upon all of us. That we are wholly devoted to you. We are men and women that are wholly devoted to you and your word. Father, I just pray that the attacks of the enemy, the arrows that get slung our way, Father, that we're able to use the word to defend ourselves. And that you just make that real to us. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We praise your great and holy name, and may we never take it for granted. We love you, and we say this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, several things that Jeff touched on are so key to my heart. So many times in the 30-plus years of ministry, I've had people come up to me and say, well, you know, I read the Word, I just don't understand it. You know, I just don't read the Word as much because I don't get anything out of it. I am totally convinced, firmly believe, any single person, if you take up the Bible, just take 30 seconds. If you take more, that's better. But if you just take 30 seconds before you open that Bible and you just say, Holy Spirit, you show me your truth today. And you read that word, he will show you things that no man has ever taught you. He will reveal himself because, as Jeff said, this is Jesus revealing himself to us. If he's really revealing himself, he wants us to know and to understand. So as you leave here today, go with that encouragement, but also encourage people around you, because I know all of you know people that say, well, I don't spend time in the Word because I just don't get anything out of it. Encourage them. Let them know. Change their way of thinking. Challenge them to say, or to at least believe, I can understand the Word of God, because there's nothing better than when you see the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit has showed you something that not Todd, not Jeff, no one else, no man taught you. He himself personally taught you that. That is always exciting. That's what makes the Word so exciting all the time. Somebody say amen like you know that's true. All right, that's good. Before we close this morning, thank you to Jeff. One of the reasons that I love Jeff for many reasons, but we get together all the time. We always encourage each other. But I give you my word, there has never been a time that we've sat down to talk together that Jeff doesn't talk in out of a heart of love for his wife, Orpha. And that just means the world to me. He's always speaking about her, talking about her, and lifting her up. That is the heart of a man of God. So I appreciate and respect that because of how much I love and appreciate Donna. So Orpha, thanks for coming today as well. I'm going to ask Chai to come up. While Chai's coming up, he's going to tell us something else to pray about. Come on up, Charlie. I thought there was something else. Well, I'll ask Chai to inform us about this. Something I want you guys to pray about, but also Charlie's going to give a challenge. I don't know if many of you know Hannah Cullors. Hannah has been struggling for, it's been how many years? A number of years, yeah. with physical. And Hannah has been standing on the Word and believing. So we will continue to stand and believe with her. But Charlie, why don't you update us?
Okay. Those of you who know Jeff and Karen Collar and their daughter Hannah, they have been standing faithfully for a long time, as Todd said, and knowing against even what the doctors had said several times for many years, that they know that she is going to be healed. She had just gotten out of the hospital again. She's really struggling right now. And Jeff had asked everyone that knows her or don't know her, that's an invitation open to everyone. He had put it out on Facebook that anyone that could show up and stand in the front yard at 12 o'clock noon today and be there to pray for her. He's going to try to get her to the window, to look out the window, to to encourage and let her see that hope. And if not, wherever you are today, take a moment at noon and do that.
Where's her?
4959 Curtis Road. It's right in the border of Northwood, Oregon, in that area. So. Yep, 4959. If you need, let me know. In Northwood. Yep. If you need to, let me know, and I'll message you or whatever. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for the hearts of Jeff and Karen and Hannah, Lord, that they just stand steadfast, Lord, praising you, knowing you. You are the great physician, Lord, their healer. They stand on your word, Lord. We thank you so much for their hearts. They're encouraged, Lord, by you. And let them be encouraged by all the believers today that stand together with them, Lord, in the gap, Lord. We just thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts of those that love you, that want to help her, Lord. Father, we just, ask you to bring her a supernatural experience today, Lord, that would just lift her up, Lord, would encourage her, would help her in the dark times, Lord, and the weakness and the pain, and just bring that healing, Lord, that only you can bring, Lord, and that peace that also transcends all human understanding. We praise your name, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. How many of you guys believe Hannah is healed once and for all? Amen. Absolutely. Let's stand up and close in song of praise and worship.